The Guardian.
Football Daily from Euro 2008.
Day four, and in the city that gave us Sigmund Freud, another session of top analysis as we tell you about our mother of a day. In Innsbruck, Villa said see ya with more clinical finishing than Barry at the bar downstairs. In Salzburg, it was time for the Greeks to get philosophical as Ibrahimovic and the Swedes burst their bubble. This Wednesday, Group A returns. We preview Switzerland-Turkey, 3 years on from that brawl. And there's Portugal against the Czechs. Plus, we look through a bumper crop of posts and a top news roundup too, all in today's Football Daily.
Football Daily from the Gerser Beer Clinic, Vienna, for Euro 2008.
Hello, listeners. Numbers dwindling here in the Gusser Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna, Austria. Barry Glendenning and me, AC Jimbo, and of course, producer Pete there. Oh, plus, of course, tonight's phoner friends are Paul Doyle and we hope Sid Lowe very shortly. Although when we spoke to him a second or two ago, Barry, there were all sorts of complications, weren't there?
Yeah, no yippie dogs this time. There was apparently 3 England fans in Geneva chanting obscenities in the background. So,
How did you know they were English? Now, much controversy. Over yesterday's call on that first Dutch goal in the Italy game and all that. Roy A1, I hope the posters will be queuing up to apologise to the officials in the Italy-Netherlands game now that they are aware that the decision was correct. Although he admits, I didn't realise that was the law either. I'm sure you'll do the right thing, he says. I have to be saying, even the linesman, I'm not sure the linesman even knew about it. And I'm not sure they weren't even rescued by that sub-clause in the official rules of the game. However, Barry, you spent much of the day apologising on The Guardian's website for all the posts.
Yeah, and now I'm kind of sorry I did, to be honest, because it's occurred to me that nobody in Europe, apart, of course, from several of our pod listeners, appear to be able to quote vast tracts from the
plenty. There were people who knew it, and
the thing is, we weren't unaware of the rule.
Right.
We were unaware of the Panucci, fact that Panucci was poleaxed at the end of the other side of the goal line.
Indeed. I think it's fair that there were plenty of things that we weren't aware of at that point in yesterday evening.
But I would say, in our defence, that we were through circumstances beyond our control. We were watching the game commentary in a foreign language that we didn't understand, so our attention wasn't drawn to this controversial
incident. Well, indeed. But then another poster pointed out that even ORF, even ORF, were unaware of said sub-clause. Even Jogi Löw, the exotically named manager of Germany, announcing today that he knew nothing, and nor did his team, about that offside rule. Anyway,
well, no one's going to believe me, but I was aware of this rule.
Barry?
But even in your ignorance, you're in good company.
Well, there you
Yogi
go.
Löw and Orff.
There you go. Now, Tuesday brought plenty of excitement, including another contender for goal of the tournament. We'll get onto that a little bit later. First, though, time for the bongs, Barry.
Bong. Luis Felipe Scolari has been joined in the running for the Chelsea job by Zico after he left Fenerbahce on Tuesday. It's a surprise that Chelsea would go for a Brazilian, since in Peter Kenyon they've already got a ball.
Bong! Trouble at Old Trafford, where Sir Alex can't keep his Aaron. That's Aaron Ramsey, the Cardiff prodigy, who United announced they'd done a deal for last week, but who instead signed for Arsenal today after Arsene Wenger laid on a private jet for the teenager to come visit him in Switzerland. Bong!
Vienna brewery Ottkringer are offering free beer for life to any Austria player who can get a goal in their next 2 matches. Sometimes it takes something like this to help our team win, said a brewery director, and we thought Rohypnol was the drink to help you score.
Football Daily in Vienna for The Guardian. Does what it says on the tin.
And there you go. Those are the news headlines on Tuesday.
Slim pickings.
Indeed so. Let's move straight on then to the exciting match action from Group D. On the line now, I think we're joined by pod favourite Sid Lowe. Sid, how are you doing there?
I'm not too bad, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. How are those meaty boys in the background?
Those meaty boys in the background are now safely in a different room away from it, in the flat I've borrowed in Geneva. I've just had some bad news, however, which is it was bright and sunny this afternoon, so I left various things on the balcony to air, and it's been pouring down with rain for the last 3 hours.
The misadventures of itinerant journalists. You must have been cheered, though, by the... It is terrible, Sid. But moving on to the game, you must have been cheered by Spain's remarkable debut in this tournament.
I was. I thought Spain were very, very good indeed. I'm just a tiny bit reluctant to get overexcited because, of course, they were absolutely brilliant in the first game of the last World Cup when they absolutely hammered the Ukraine. And tonight as well, I thought they were really very impressive, but I did wonder about the defending of the Russians. I also thought one thing was really quite significant, that Spain, who, if you like, kind of almost artificially employed this five-man midfield to try and crowbar in all their best players, when they finally realised it wasn't working, Fabregas wasn't entirely fit, and they kind of broke it a little bit, things worked for them. And it worked for them playing David Villa and Fernandinho up front, which is something that Aragonés has been a little reluctant to do. And I was really, really pleased to see David Villa score a hat-trick, because I do think he's probably the best of Spanish strikers, and I do include Fernando Torres in that list.
Wow, they look amazing together, didn't they, Torres and Villa, and Iniesta linking up well. And basically, they just looked so casual, Spain, so comfortable, so it looked so easy.
Yeah, they did. I mean, they're aside, I mean, I've said this a million times before, but when they keep the ball and they maintain possession, sometimes it looks almost impossible to take the ball off them. And admittedly, I don't want to draw too many conclusions from just one game, but I did think there was something significant tonight, which was that I thought that the first two goals came from precisely the moments when Spain almost, if you like, jettisoned their normal style. They decided, right, let's not just keep the ball and patiently pass it around. But they were very direct on the first two goals, taking advantage of the pace of Torres and Villa, and that's how they found a way through. And I think if they can combine those two things, you know, the pace and the kind of the cutting edge of those two forwards and the ability to maintain possession, then of course they're good enough to win the tournament. Because the problem is, of course, whether it's quite as simple as all that.
Right, now Sid, it's Barry's turn. Barry.
Sid, I noticed during doing my extensive research before the game that Iker Casillas had way more caps than the entire Russian defence put together. And after the game, Goose Hiddink said that his players played quite well but weren't streetwise enough. Would you agree with that?
Well, I do think that, I mean, this is something Hiddink's insisted on before, isn't it? I mean, he was saying this even during the time when Russia were playing England. He's been saying this in the build-up to the tournament, and he said lots and lots of times, we have a very, very good side, but not a very good side for now. More a very good side for a couple of years. And I think there's an element of truth to that, and a bit like, almost a bit like watching the Italians go down against the Dutch. I didn't think Russia were that awful tonight. At the back, they were pretty poor, but I thought they created chances. I thought they on occasion looked like they were going to open things up for the Spanish defence. And I also thought that, you know, Spain scored the two goals playing, as I say, very directly and very quickly and using the pace of those two front players. But perhaps looked a little bit nervy at the back. Russia have an uphill task now, but I don't think they're a bad side, and I think in a couple of years they might well be a very good side.
Well, they hit the post for one. There was another off the crossbar, which I think the referee had already blown his whistle on. There were a couple of chances that flashed by Casillas' goal. So, possibly one or two shaky areas there at the back for Spain. But what will the mood be like back home in Spain, Sid? Do you think there'll be euphoria and jumping up and down in fountains, that kind of thing?
Absolutely, of course they will. They'll be going absolutely bonkers. And as I say, I'm reluctant to read too much into it, because I remember the fact that they were really genuinely impressive against the Ukraine.
You've been hurt before, haven't you, Sid?
Well, I've been hurt before. I mean, every Spaniard has been hurt before. But this is the problem, of course, that as England fans know this as well, that one great performance and suddenly you think, wow, we really can do it. Now,
when was this one great performance?
Well, yeah, England haven't had one great performance, but that's a slight problem. But one of the problems is that the Spanish have seen this before, that tonight's performance, while it was very good, doesn't change very much. In the Spanish knew they were very good at these things, and they were worried about their ability to keep a game against a really good side. So, for example, the defensive errors that they made tonight, there will be a feeling tomorrow in Spain that, hang on, it's all well and good doing that against Russia, but if we do that against Italy or Holland or France, and knock us out. Now, there will be euphoria, and it was very striking that, obviously, I watched the game because I'm here for the tournament, but I was talking to mates in Spain afterwards about the way the Spanish commentary was handled, and that was all about, yeah, we can do this, oh, we're amazing, aren't we brilliant, we're going to do this. And, of course, that's almost the problem. And certainly the Spanish players, maybe not the Spanish media, but the Spanish players have always insisted, our big problem is that everyone says we're brilliant before we really are.
Did you see the Sweden-Greece game this evening?
I saw the Sweden-Greece game sort of through a cloud of smoke in a bar in Geneva.
Right.
Was the bar on fire?
The second one, which was mildly comic, and the first one, which was a brilliant goal. And I missed that, Baz. I'm sorry, I can't hear you properly.
Right. Okay. A quick shout, actually, before you go. Goal of the tournament so far, because Ibrahimovic is a screamer there. Against the Greeks has to rocket in, certainly, into the top two or three. You got that Morelia's goal for... for Portugal, with that lovely little Machinho spin in there. There was a Podolski for the Germans. And how about Snyder, of course, the second, I think it was against... No, it was the second, of course, for the Dutch. What would your pick be, Mr. Lowe? Dr. Lowe?
I mean, obviously, the Saints tonight were really nice, but having been in the stadium last night, watching the Italy Holland game, it must be possible to look at the two breakaways for Holland, and the Wesley Sneijder goal, I thought, was absolutely brilliant. Mm. And I'm really, really pleased with Sneijder as well, because he's had a great season in Spain. Perhaps hasn't always been given the credit that he deserves, and I thought he was brilliant again against the Italians. But by the way, I thought the Italians were actually pretty good, despite losing 3-0.
Yeah, well, the second half certainly showed all sorts of promise, but as you've probably seen, Donadoni has been hauled over the coals today. Even some of his players speaking about his team selection, Andrea Pirlo, fairly frank. Pirlo's not a man who says a great deal, but he was fairly sincere with his comments today, with the tardiness of the substitutions, and also, I think he was echoing many people's thoughts about the fact that De Rossi should have been on the field from the first minute. I think that was, everyone felt that was a given about Italy going into this tournament, that De Rossi would be an automatic starter, and quite why Ambrosini found his way in instead is another issue. One of our posters, in fact, pointing out that Ambrosini-Gattuso tandem was one of the many contributing factors to Arsenal turning over Milan quite so thoroughly in the Champions League. So it's funny that Donadoni should then think they'd be the two entrust the keys to his midfield. Anyway, I've rambled enough. Sid, an evening of debauchery and delights awaits you, sir. So go to it, and we'll speak to you soon, I hope, Sid.
I hope so, yeah, cheers.
Football daily from The Guardian at Euro 2008.
Now then, Sweden, Greece. Barry.
Yes.
Yes, Ibrahimovic.
I was delighted.
Take that, doubters.
To see Greece get beaten. Yes. They're a horrible, horrible team. Now, the way they play...
I don't know about that. That's quite fun, isn't it? Isn't that part of bringing the nations together? And, you know, you have those who play flair football, those who play different kinds of football. And you've got the Greeks with their own unique style.
It's horrible. It's awful.
I love that bit in the first half where the back four were just passing it around between them.
The back seven. I mean, they went a goal down, so how are we going to get back in the game? We'll take off one of our goalkeepers and bring on a defender, you know. Then they went 2-0 down, took off another goalkeeper, just left one in goals, brought on another defender. It takes a lot of concentration and patience and discipline is required to play the way they play, but it's also, you know, concentration and patience and discipline required to watch them. Mm. They are horrible teams. They don't have a plan B. Once they went a goal down, that was it, game over. And it was a matter of how many they were going to lose by.
I just think it's a little bit like the wacky races, you know. You bring all these nations from all over Europe together in their various different guises, and the Greeks are a bit like, I don't know, what were they called? Those cavemen in the stone vehicle. And you've got other ones that are rather more exciting and kind of flash vehicles, like Penelope Pitstop. And it's just nice to see that broad spectrum of approaches to the game.
I don't know, it just takes me back to Ireland-Egypt in the famous World Cup match where, you know, half the planet lost the will to live, including people in Ireland and Egypt. The one that sent Eamon Dunphy over the edge, and he's never really clambered out of that particular abyss.
Right.
But, you know, Bolton fans, for example, when their team played under Big Sam, they always reacted to criticism, as you'd expect them to, but they reacted to criticism by saying, you know, it may not be pretty to watch, but it's effective and we're just a little club, blah-de-blah-de-blah. And that's all true, but it doesn't mean we have to like it.
Well, indeed not.
But Sweden weren't that impressive either, I thought. Interestingly, we were having a bit of a row before the game over whether Zlatan Ibrahimovic was any good or not. I said he was useless. You said he was great.
So no, I said he was good in patches.
Oh, sorry. Mm. The curate's egg of a player, good in the spot. But yeah, so he turns up, scores his first goal in 2.5 years, I think, international goal.
Were you listening to the same commentary I was?
Must have been. Sweden, until he scored, Sweden were just putting in cross after cross after cross, and they were all being headed clear by these three ogres that Greece have in the centre, their three-man centre defence. But Sweden kept at it, but I can't see them troubling anyone else in the group, to be honest.
They're going to be facing the Russians next, yes?
Yeah, I suspect Russia will beat them, and I think Spain would beat them comfortably.
We went to Vienna for Euro 2008, and all you got was this lousy podcast.
Posts. Plenty of listeners are finding things to say, some good, some bad. Let's have a quick look through a little selection. The videos are drawing a mainly positive response. As you, Fundament 666, Barry, do you take requests? Can you do a Mr. T impression on camera for the next video? Comedy gold it would be. Can you do that, Barry?
I pity the fool who wants a Mr. T impression from video on video from me.
That's half-hearted. Yeah.
I would like to formally apologise for the France-Romania fiasco, which was not my idea. It was an edict from on high.
Yes.
And it ended up looking more like a bad, particularly bad Turner Prize entry.
You see, it was better than I expected. But that's the things about it.
Yeah, but as I recall, you described that particular concept as, and I quote, "an idea so bad it makes me feel unwell," unquote, hence your non-appearance in it.
Was I wrong? Cavigno 8, am I the first person to call the Jimbo and Barry co-broadcast Bezetta? Interesting one, that. John Neathan in Birmingham says he's disappointed with the videos because he always imagined you to be a grumpy middle-aged gent, begrudging of long younger colleagues with auburn hair, slick back, Steve McLaren style to cover its thinness, etc., etc., etc. What else here? Floor Genius in Melbourne, enjoying the daily dose of the pod and enjoying the video footage too. AC, Jimbo and Barry seem a lovely couple, but how can they make love when Jimbo never calls? Did we mention that on the air?
I think we've mentioned it several times.
That was ill-advised. Villa Sport Crew, just saw the vid. Barry sitting there, this is the one you're talking about, watching the game, alone, smoking cigarettes, bored as well. Provoked an existential shudder in me. This is how most North Americans enjoy the sport, by the way. Alone, in an empty pub. Only you'd have a bit of haggling at the beginning with the barkeep to put on that gay Euro trash garbage on the TV. Sorry to hear about that, Villa Sport Crew. It sounds awful. Others, well, plenty of...
Worth mentioning that, unfortunately, there are not many more videos because apparently...
Well, we got one coming in tomorrow, I think. There's one of there's a kind of old-school newspaper roundup out there at the moment. Then there's a visit to the football museum.
With hilarious consequences.
There for you, I suspect, tomorrow. And then after that, well, we've got a bit of a problem because Rebecca, who was operating the camera, has now fled the country, although we may be able to scratch something up. Further on in the week, we will keep you quite literally... posted on that. Jim Bip, enjoying the podcast in Karlsruhe, southwest Germany. Good to know, Jimbo. Instant thought, a little pun here, read the French match. Unfortunately, Karim has not been the man of the match. Outstanding work there. And, post of the day, I think, this one from Mobile in Lyon, France. You'll recall that Matt Scott yesterday resorted to talking about Capello's doodlings in an England press conference and provided a brief explanation as to what they might signify. Mobley actually gives us the skinny on this. Square represents logic, triangle represents intellect, circle represents emotion, and curly lines represent sexuality. Squares, which envelop triangles or circles, mean they dominate. Here is a man whose pragmatism always wins out over his imagination. The fact that Capello's sexuality lines are jagged probably means that the FA haven't found someone to replace Farai Alam yet. I don't know what that means. And one last post there for you. That didn't get a laugh from you. I thought that was a good post. Huh?
Yeah.
All right.
That was good.
Yeah. Vienna Insider in Vienna. I'm a bit late on this one, but there is more to Slaven Bilic's motivational music of choice, Thompson. We happily played this out the other day, little realising that, as Vienna Insider points out, they're led by an ultra-nationalist chap called Marko Petrovic, and the band's name is taken from a type of machine gun prominent during the war in Croatia. They've been banned from playing in Holland, and a recent concert planned in Austria was scrapped due to security risks, etc., 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 and so on. So thanks for that heads up, Vienna Insider. We'll be a bit more careful with our musical choice in future. But I am delighted to say we've got so many listeners in Vienna who get flagged up on the post as being in Vienna. Oliger dropped by yesterday to see us. We had a chap called Pete come by today. Sunday, the owner of the beer clinic announced that they're actually going to be closed. So he's giving us the keys, and he says we can have will be up and running. So clearly, don't come by on Sunday when we'll be having a lockup. Come by on Saturday when you know it's all strictly above board. Saturday night's the night then for the special. For what's wrong with that, Barry? But it is interesting because we got into this whole talk about, you know, Euro 2000.
Do you realise what you've just done?
I told people to come by on Saturday.
No, you told people that we're going to be here on our own with the keys of the beer clinic on Sunday.
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God. There'll be people flying out from England for that.
I think you and I both know that they won't, Barry. But anyway, so now, economically, interesting the way that, you know, they spent, what is it, 500 million on the tournament, Austria and Switzerland, and it was expected to bring in a billion. But what the chap was saying, the guy who runs the beer clinic here, and this has been echoed by others, is that actually, in fact, you know, your ordinary businessman has actually not seen the income coming in. Quite the opposite. In fact, the beer clinic has been emptying out day by day. And I think that it's been... He blamed the fan zone. Unions for having sucked away all the...
Well, they're sucking all the passing trade out to the fan zone, but the passing trade then are going to the fan zone and not buying anything in the fan zone because the prices out there are outrageous. I mean, the hot dog Barney Rona was eating in the video and the accompanying soft drink probably cost about 10 euros or
more. You've got a receipt, though, so that's...
Yeah, not everyone has the luxury of the Guardian's expenses department backing them like Barney has. But Pete, who called around to see us, you know, he was explaining that some people are saying black market beer outside the fan zone.
It's like Harry Lyme all over again, isn't it?
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah. I'm not going to actually pretend I've read The Third Man. I meant it, but I didn't.
Right, okay. You've had a busy life, Barry. We know that. So that's all very interesting. Anyway, they are going to be closed on Sunday because...
Reason for some, like the Croatians were in town over the weekend, so they go to the fan zone, watch the game, don't spend any money there. Then they come back through the tube station, parade through the streets, chanting and singing, don't spend any money here, mainly because they don't have the money or they don't have enough disposable income to, you know, once they've got here, they can't really afford to splash out on huge amounts of beer and food.
Quite possibly. Of course, there is the notion that as the more matches come to Vienna, we've only had one so far, that the whole kind of influx will indeed increase. But I believe that the police are actually worried now that the next lot up are the Poles, and they're going to go partying and not in the designated fun zones. They're going to be... Because there are, if you buy
there
a
are
map,
designated fun zones clearly marked on the map in purple circles. Right. And apparently having fun outside a designated fun zone is frowned upon.
Right.
I'm not sure if we're in one or not, but...
I'm certainly
not having fun, so it doesn't really matter.
Ah, dear boy.
Yeah.
Didn't see that one coming. Very magnificent. All right, then. How about a bit of music to bring this chapter of the pod to an end, producer Pete?
For more great podcasts, visit guardian.co.uk/audio.
Paul Doyle.
Hey, James. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm delighted to hear you and delighted to be able to hear you because yesterday, unfortunately, technology didn't live up to our ambitions and you had much to tell us about and we weren't able to hear all of it. But I'm just trying to remember, what are we talking to you about tonight? what on earth? What in the wide world?
Have you anything you'd like to tell us, Paul? I'd like to hear the story about the...
Yes, I'll tell you something.
Yes.
I'm very satisfied actually now that you ring because I just had dinner and I had diced horse.
Yes.
And,
how was it?
Which is the first time. Well, that's the first time I've ever had it. But given how much money I've lost in those creatures over the years, it was long overdue.
Indeed. The French are quite partial to their minced horse, are they not? I remember as a child regularly having.
Yeah, but I've never had it before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you probably didn't have. The same extravagant upbringing Jimbo had. He was telling me the other day how he was addicted to schnitzel for 2 years from the age of 11 to 13. I didn't even know schnitzel existed till about 3 days ago.
But
were they VFP Stuttgart or VFB Stuttgart power schnitzels?
No, they weren't, sadly. What is that, Paul?
It's just something I saw in a football exhibition in Zurich the other day.
Oh.
They have a great collection of all these sort of kitsch football-related products, like, you know, Manchester United coffee, Wolverhampton Wanderers lampshades, and VFP Stuttgart power schnitzels.
It's funny you should mention that.
Do you know,
Paul,
what this is the sound of, Paul?
As you speak,
it's the sound of a man eating football-themed mortadella. I'm eating a mortadella that's actually got a real footballer kicking a ball through it.
Who is the player?
I don't know. Actually, I've eaten his head, so I can't see now. But it looks a bit like Paul Casper, actually. But that's so it's done with various shapes of kind of a dead pig, and that's the result. And it's rather fetching. I'm not touching the pink cake that Barry is thrusting towards me because my parents warned me about that kind of thing. And needless to say, it has got a football themed icing effect. But anyway, sorry, you were telling me about the power schnitzel.
I'd finished that story.
Good. Let's move on then.
I'd finished that Schwanke.
Yes.
That's a little bit of German I picked up. Did you know that, maybe it's just Swiss German, I don't know, but a German word for a funny little story is a Schwank.
I didn't know that. Is this, though, the pod equivalent of passing the ball around the Greek defenders, do you think, or not? Should we move on, do you think?
Let's stop having Schwanks and move on to what Paul is supposed to be talking about.
Here's Schwanking, what's wrong?
Right, indeed. Now, tomorrow, Switzerland are taking on Turkey and Portugal are taking on the Czech Republic. Which is your area of expertise again, Paul?
Well, I spent all day today hanging out with the Portuguese.
Ah, fantastic. What happened?
Yeah. Well, no, nothing particularly extraordinary. They're in top form.
Yes.
They're full of confidence.
Right.
They were talking up the Czechs, saying that they reckon the Czechs are better than Turkey, who, of course, they beat on Saturday. I was at the Czech game against Switzerland on Saturday, and they certainly didn't look very good to me.
Mm.
They were very pedestrian. Played a lot of long balls to Jan Koller, and you know the Portuguese were talking today about how it's going to be a physical battle, and they're expecting a lot more of that, because even though Koller was taken off against Switzerland and was replaced by Václav Varikos, who came on and scored the goal, the expectation is that Koller will start tomorrow, and they will resume pumping long balls up to him. And with even though the Czech midfield don't have the dynamism to get up and support him quick enough. So Carvalho, who is 19 metres shorter than Koller, says he'll handle him no bother.
All right.
Paul,
I'm paraphrasing there.
I heard earlier that for want of some other team to follow, a lot of the British press pack have been ganging up and following Portugal around. And I'm going to add to the tedium of the whole thing now by asking. Apparently Carvalho said today that he may move to Inter, or wouldn't be adverse to a move to Inter.
Yeah, well, he did, yeah. He was asked if he would like to... apparently Inter have expressed an interest, and he was asked if he's interested in rejoining Mourinho. And he said that he'd love to play for Mourinho again. He won the majority of the trophies that he's won in his career were with Mourinho, and he's a great manager. However, he did say, "But I have a contract with Chelsea, a contract that he only signed with them last year, and he quite likes Chelsea, so he's going to talk to Peter Glenn later on in the summer and see what happens." It probably is worth mentioning that Inter's alleged interest in him does give him leverage to get what he really wants, which is pay parity with John. He currently earns $50,000 a week more.
Is that John Terry?
Yeah.
Oh, good, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Carvalho can legitimately argue that he is more important to the Chelsea defence than John Terry is. So, you know, he should be paid the same. So this interest from Inter will give him a bit of negotiating power.
Well, indeed so. And various other stories, of course, out there about players apparently...
Just on the subject of Portugal,
yes.
and the British press allegedly getting behind them, they are by far... the second most supported team here in Switzerland, and possibly even the best supported team. Everywhere you go, you see much more Portuguese flags than Swiss flags, because there's a big Portuguese immigrant population here in Portugal, and they've got right behind their team. At the stadium where I was at today in Neuchâtel, which is where Neuchâtel Zamex play, they had an open training session the other day, and 12,000 Portuguese fans turned up to watch it, which is more than Neuchâtel Zamex have ever got for a league match there.
So they should have a cracking atmosphere behind them then as they take on the Czechs. They'll be looking to take their unbeaten streak in competitive matches to 13.
Portugal will, yeah.
Yes.
I think that's a statement of the obvious.
Yeah, good.
Yeah. Well, that's what it says on Jimbo's page anyway.
Yeah, okay.
reading from.
Kick that one off. Lovely. Okay, cool. And any other schwangs you want to, was it schwanks you want to regale us with or not?
No, I've finished schwanking now.
Okay.
He needs time to recharge.
Right, okay. I tell you what, we're going to have a bit of a chat about Switzerland-Turkey next. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I think Turkey will win that. I think they will go into it with... Well, first of all, I think we should hark back to the last time the two teams met.
Yes.
Which degenerated into a hilarious brawl that was in 2005 in a playoff for a place in the 2006 World Cup. I don't think it will happen again. However,
a five-game
home
stadium ban, it says on my piece of paper here. Hey, we all remember that.
Yeah,
it was absolutely mind-boggling, the scenes. It was that World Cup qualifier. I think it was the qualifier or was the final game anyway, and the Swiss
went through. It was a playoff, yeah.
Playoff, right, yeah.
And, in fact, one of the Swiss squad, Stefan Grichting, who sustained a very serious injury in that brawl, is still trying to sue the Turkish person responsible for it. But he was complaining today in the media that he's not getting any cooperation from any of the relevant authorities in finding out who it was, because he did it from behind, and he doesn't know who it was, so he doesn't know who to sue, so he's thinking of letting it drop.
My word.
But but I think Turkey will approach it with a very different mindset than they did against Portugal on Saturday. I think they went in just to try to contain Portugal, play for a draw, perhaps sneak a goal in the break, and they left out some of their most offensive players, you know, wingers like Arda Turan and Gökdelen. And I think that they will probably come into the starting lineup tomorrow, so you'll see a much more attacking side.
Emre's out there, isn't he?
Switzerland.
Emery's out with a hamstring problem. He may have finished his tournament.
Oh, that is a pity for them, because he is, as well as being the darling of Fatty Terim, the manager, he had a good game on Saturday. I thought he was incredibly energetic. He ran further than anyone else in the match.
Well, there you go. Emery out. Also, Alexander Fry out, of course. And Paul Doyle, thank you very much for that. Admirably comprehensive.
Thanks.
Indeed. We'll speak to you soon, Paul.
Bye.
Well then, Barry Ace, Switzerland, Turkey. Bit of bad blood, one or two injured players, two teams who desperately need the points to have a chance of staying in this tournament.
It's one of these games in the tournament that I find difficult to get enthused about. Some teams, I just don't know much about either team, to be honest, and I don't really care who
You should
wins.
Have a bit of paper like I do, they're fantastic.
Well, I should have a bit of paper. I was really hoping Paul would have something to say about it. Because,
well, he did.
Yeah, I thank God for that,
right, okay.
Because if he hadn't, we'd have been in all sorts of bother.
Right, so, yeah. Okay, so no prediction there from you on Switzerland, Turkey, Barry?
I go for a draw.
Interesting. Portugal or Czech Republic?
Portugal.
Right, okay. There you go. That's it then for tonight's Football Daily from the Gusser Beer Clinic in downtown Vienna. We'll be back tomorrow with another full selection of top Euro 2008 titbits. And we'll sign out tonight, listeners, with the merry, merry sounds of our visit to the football exhibition.
Can I stress that I'm not singing in this bit? It's you and you alone. Indeed.
Bye, listeners.
Exhibition Karaoke Machine.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.